Well, good evening. Lord has blessed us with a beautiful day and gave us a little rain along with the sunshine. And if you're visiting here, we are delighted you're with us. I know I am, and the congregation is as well. And I want to take a minute to say I do appreciate the invitation to be able to come and be with you this weekend. Carrie and I have been looking forward to coming and getting to know y'all better this weekend. I've heard good things about the group here, so you'll be commended for that. And as our brother announced, by the way, that was some good singing. I tell you, I enjoyed that. And in a few minutes, we'll stand to sing the song that Roger, I believe, is his name, if I'm correct. What?
That's the last name, Bird.
Bird. Well, I knew it was one. So anyway, we got it close. We'll stand and sing the song that he's announced, and I'm sure everything's in a state of readiness if you want to obey the gospel. But we're glad you're with us, and look forward to being with you this weekend. Most everyone is familiar with what has been taking place over the past few months, especially in Kentucky, about the clerk who, for whatever reasons that she said that she believed it was wrong to issue marriage licenses to homosexual couples. And I agree completely with her, as do most Christians. And despite what the government might say, or the courts of the land, who can marry and who cannot, God has already dictated that in His holy word. It's one man, one woman for life. And we all understand that if we're Christians. But despite that fact, many times as Christians we struggle with how are we going to live a Christian life and at the same time live in a land and be governed by people who seem to be ungodly and seem to make their laws not according to God's law. And really, Jesus answered that for us in the long ago. And I want to notice that for a few minutes tonight. My text is Matthew, the 22nd chapter, and the version I'm going to be using is the King James Version. And I want to read these verses first. In Matthew 22, starting in verse 15, we're told, "Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true, and teachest the way of God in truth, neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men." In verse 17 we're told, "Tell us therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not?" But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, "Why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Show me the tribute money." And they brought unto him a penny. And he said unto him, "Whose is the image and the superscription?" They said unto him, "Caesar." Then said he unto them, "Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things which are God's." And we're told when they heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. Now I want to notice this incident in the life of Jesus for a few minutes tonight more closely. Because when you look here at the question that is put forward, first of all, we might note that it's put forth by the bitterest enemies of Jesus, the Pharisees. He is tangled with them all through his ministry. We're told in verse 15, "Then went the Pharisees and took counsel that they might entangle him in his talk." So their goal is to try to trap Jesus. Their goal is to trick him. But as we're going to see, they're hopelessly outwitted and outmatched. And what's interesting is, they really remain in the background during all this. Because if you look at the next verse, verse 16, it says, "And they sent out unto him their disciples." Now, some say those were their spies. So they coached them on what they want them to ask Jesus and how to go about it. Now, they're staying in the background. And also, we're told they send the Herodians. And the Herodians were loyal to the Herod family,
course, the Herod family, as you know, did whatever Rome wanted, and they did Rome's bidding. And what we find is, here in verse 16, when they ask this question, it says, "Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of man." Now, the way they approach him is they're flattering him. And I don't know if you've ever had somebody start to flatter you that you just met, or someone who's come up to you and they're trying to, they begin everything with flattering words. I'm always kind of weary of somebody like that. And that's the way they approach Jesus. They're trying to catch him off guard. Now, what they're saying is true. Everything they said is true. Jesus was true. He did teach the way of God in truth. But what we're going to see is behind them, or their question, is treachery. Behind their supposed righteousness is insincerity. They're acting like they really have a pressing question to a religious Jew. And so they're asking Jesus this. Now you'll notice in verse 17, "Tell us therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not?" And of course that was taxes. So if you break this down, basically they're just asking a simple question. Is it lawful according to God's law to pay taxes to a foreign ruler, yes or no? Now, this really is a tricky, crafty question. Because the way that the Pharisees looked at it, there were only two possible answers that a person could give. And so they thought, we have it. We have it. See, if he answered yes, the Jews would be upset with him. Reason being is they hated that toll tax. They didn't want to pay it. But if he answered no, well, the Herodians would immediately rush out and accuse Jesus of committing treason. So in their mind, they now have a question that is unanswerable. They think they've got Jesus. But what we're going to see is, if you'll notice, in verse 18, "But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, Why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites?" Jesus is going to answer them. Now you'll notice that he calls them hypocrites. He knows immediately what type of people they are. Jesus knew the hearts of all men and women. And when you notice here how he goes about this, he says, "Show me the tribute money," and they brought him to him a penny. And I found this in this picture. This more than likely, this is a denarius. This is what probably they handed him, more than likely. My sources said it was worth 17 to 20 cents. The image is Tiberius Caesar. And the inscription on it said, "Tiberius Caesar, son of the divine Augustus." Now, when you look at what he says in verse 20, he gets them to help answer the question. Now that's a lesson for you and me right there. Be it at school, be it on the job, be it in any place, if someone asks you a religious question, it's always a good idea to do what Jesus did. Ask them questions to help along get the answer. See, and that's what he does. He said unto them, "Whose is this image and this superscription?" They say unto him, "Caesar's." Then said he unto them, "Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's." Now, that seems very simple. We kind of do the same thing. That he had struck them with an observation that was so simple. We oftentimes do it ourselves. It's not really proper English, but we'll say, "If it ain't broke, don't fix it." Have you ever said that? Don't take the fence down, you know why it was put up. Well, basically, Jesus is such a simple way of saying, give Caesar what belongs to Caesar and give God what belongs to God. And notice what happens says, when they heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. So what the Pharisees thought was a conflict, Jesus found harmony. What they thought was only two possible answers to a question, Jesus said, it's not God or Caesar, but both. He said, it's God and it's Caesar. And see, they did not think that a third answer was possible. Now, I'm sure human nature being what it was and what it is, they probably, on the way back, after they'd been humiliated and they left here, I can just imagine all of them walking along and somebody going, who thought up that stupid question? Because that made them look like idiots, didn't it? They looked like idiots. But Jesus taught some lessons that I think not only were beneficial to them, but are beneficial to us. He not only evaded a dangerous snare, but he taught two important lessons that I want to notice that I think will help us. And one is, he said something simple. Render, therefore, unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's. Someone says, which Caesar? Well, not the Caesar then, any reigning monarch. To us, to them it would have been the king, would have been Caesar. To us, it is the government, be it state, local, national, the president. What are we to render? I've got some suggestions. And you can make sermons out of all of these, really. But first of all, when he says render unto Caesar, one thing we're to do, we're to render honor to the government. Peter touched on this, 1 Peter 2:17. He stated, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Now, to those that Peter was writing to, his contemporary, that would have been the Caesar. But to us, it's the government. To us, it's the president. See, I might not agree with the man that is the president of the United States and what he believes. But I am to honor him for the office for which he holds. And see, oftentimes, I don't know how it is here in the state of Florida, but in the state of Tennessee, I hear an awful lot of people running down the president of the United States constantly. And I try not to do it because I might not agree with him, but I'm to show his office honor. He's been given authority from on high. He's ordained as God, the government, the powers that be, as we should see. And so I'm to render honor to those that are officials in the government. Something else. Obedience. And that's not always easy. You use Romans 13, you probably follow this verse, but here in verse 1 it says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Sometimes we forget that as Christians. God ordained them. You look in verse 2. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Now, oftentimes, we're not put in the situation that that lady in Kentucky was. Myself, I have a brother who's 1 year younger than I am. I'm better looking than he is. But you're younger than me. And my wife will say that's true. But anyway, we had talked about this, and if it would have been me, I would have just found another job. I've had jobs before in my life where they have asked me to do things that violated my conscience. Well, I found other work. For whatever reason, this lady didn't do it. But if the day should ever come where what I hear is eventually it's going to be against the law for preachers to preach that homosexuality is a sin. Maybe you've heard that. I hope when the day comes, if such a law is ever passed, that I will not obey that law. But I'm supposed to obey the law of the land unless I learn from the apostles, Acts the 5th chapter. Remember in verse 29? They had been commanded not to teach in the name of Christ. But they did it anyway. It says, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. If they were going to throw me in prison tonight, if I said homosexuality was a sin, I hope I would have the courage to stand here and preach. I really do. I believe I would. I don't want to go to prison. I don't think they're going to feed me when I want to eat. It's not a lie. I've never been in jail. I've been to jail to visit people, but I've never personally been incarcerated. So that's one little thing you won't have to ask about. But I have been to the jail. But anyway, we're to obey the government unless it violates God's law. Something else were to render to them, tribute, taxes. In Romans 13:6, it says, for this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Now, I don't like to pay taxes any more than the next person. Preachers are considered self-employed by the IRS, so therefore you have to pay that self-employment tax. And I don't enjoy it, but we're doing it because the powers that be ordained of God. They're God's ministers. You know, you remember in the Old Testament, they lived under a theocracy. God made the spiritual law, but he also made the moral law. Do you remember that? Today, the powers that be are the government. And their laws don't always go along with what God's spiritual laws are. And then something else. Prayer. In 1 Timothy 2, we're told in verse 1, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplication, prayer, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. And I've had people ask me that before. Who can we pray for and who should we pray for? And if they've read their Bible, I often just say, well, turn to 1 Timothy 2. We're to pray for all men. Even if they're not a Christian, I can pray that their heart may be open. If they've gone back into the world, I pray that something might happen in their life that will bring them back. But I'm to pray for them. And notice something else. In verse 2, he says, for kings, and for all that are in authority, and he tells us why. That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So I can pray, and I do, I try to pray every day. I mentioned that I pray that those who are over us in this land will look to God's word for wisdom, to try to derive their decision-making from God's word. Does that always happen? No, but I pray that it will, so we can live a quiet and peaceful life. So the first lesson that we learn is Jesus pointed out to them, he points out to us, render, you could put, unto the government the things which are the government. Basically, I should have put that up there. But he also taught another lesson. He said, render unto God the things that are God's. Now, if a coin that I showed you bear the image of Caesar, and Jesus said it belongs to him, give it back to him. What about us as Christians who bear the image of our Heavenly Father? We belong to him. How much more should we give back to him? Think about that. And so, what should we render unto God? And again, you could make sermons out of each one of these points. But first of all, ourselves. Ourselves. Now, the Spirit through Paul points out, 1 Corinthians 6, verse you're familiar with, 19 and 20, he said, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? Once you obeyed the gospel, you were bought with a price. He points this out. For you are bought with a price,
Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are who? Which are God. Could tie in one of my favorite verses, Romans 14. I don't have it up here. Verses 7 and 8, where it says, For no man liveth unto himself, and no man dieth unto himself. Whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. He says, whether we live, therefore, or die, what? We are the Lord. See, I belong to the Lord. You belong to the Lord. And so I surrender myself. When we look back in the Old Testament, I was reading last night. I don't want to make my wife look bad, but I was reading the Bible, and then I had left my Company H. I don't know if you ever heard about that book about the Civil War, Company H. True story. Sam Watkins wrote it. He was from Murray County, where I grew up. And I didn't bring it with me. And I had finished reading the Bible, and she's reading the book, and I asked her if I could read it, but it's on her Nook. You know, I don't read a Nook. I read a real book. She reads the Nook, and she said, no, you'll lose my place. And I laid there, and oh, I can never went to sleep. I needed that book. But I still love her, but when you talk about things of that nature and who we belong to, have you ever thought when you read in the Old Testament, I was reading my Bible about David fighting Goliath. I love those stories about Samson. But have you ever considered God was using these people to fulfill a purpose? Today, who do you think are his instruments upon this earth? Who do you think are the ones that are supposed to fulfill his purpose? It's you. It's me. So I have to give myself totally to God. If with any relationship, if you just partially go into a marriage with maybe kind of sort of if attitude, that marriage is going to fail. It's all or nothing. It's. So I learned that I have to give myself completely to the Lord. Now, something else. Our substance. In 1 Corinthians 10:26, we're told, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Now, a lot of people don't like it when preachers preach on you. Matter of fact, in my lifetime, every time I've preached on giving, the contribution has went down. Makes no sense to me whatsoever, but it's just a fact. But one thing I've noticed, oftentimes, each year, people do their taxes, and we will look, and some people, the government lets you deduct charitable contributions. Some people do not want to deduct their contributions. That's fine. Others do. But each year, we know how much we give. And what I found with Christians, a lot of Christians is, because my mentality was the same way when I was, quote, was a real Christian. And I say that because I haven't always been a preacher. I worked a secular job, and I preached part-time. And so I was just a regular Christian then. Then I became a full-time preacher, and I was no longer that regular Christian. But what I found in my own life and others, each month, most of us live on a budget, right? And our budget usually never changes. I've noticed this. Your house payment will be set unless you refinance it, but it's set for each month. It's always the same. If you have a car payment, it's always the same. You may have a few of medical bills, but a lot of times you'll set them up on monthly payments, $50. They're always the same. And what I found with a lot of Christians, and I used to do this myself, when I made my budget out, all those bills were there, and what I gave to the Lord each week never changed because I'd already budgeted it in. But did you know I was getting cost of living increases? I was getting bonuses? I was getting raises? I guarantee you, unless you've had some type of catastrophe in your job, you're probably making more money now than you were 2 years ago just for the cost of living. Now, you may have used that money to buy a ring, but this is not a sermon on giving, but 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, we're to give as we've been prospered. I found that a lot of Christians never get out of that rut. My goal ought to be, if I give myself to the Lord, I need to strive to make sure I give more each year to the Lord. That should be my goal. It should be your goal. And it shows, really, my love for God. But I won't preach on giving tonight, but nothing else. We should render our time. I use one verse, Ephesians 5, 15 and 16. See then, and walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. In other words, we got to buy it back. When you talk about time, there's always people that are late. There's always people that are early. That's just people, isn't it? I like to be early. Some people, they come in just at the last minute. But God expects me and you to use our time. We've all been given 168 hours, if I've added it correctly, each week, right? I'm to use it to be a good steward of it. I'm to use it to make sure that I set aside time to read His Word. Let Him talk to me. Set aside time to talk to Him. Simple thing. Pray. I don't know how many times people tell me, I don't have time to pray. I used to have to get up at 4 o'clock, work a 12-hour shift, Bridgestone Firestone, live an hour away. Did you think I didn't pray, though, before I went to work? I had to make time. You make time for what's important in your life. And so God expects us to use our time wisely. But what I found is this last one. If you render the proper love, notice for you what Jesus said in Matthew 22:37. Jesus said unto him, he was asked the question, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. If we love God this way, then we won't have to worry about giving ourselves. We won't have to worry about giving our substance. We won't have to worry about giving our time. Why? Because we love Him. We want to do it. We want to do it. And so Jesus teaches two beautiful lessons. Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's. Then He says, render unto God the things that are God's. Now tonight, if you're a Christian, you belong to God. You're His child. Therefore, you need to heed the words of Jesus. You need to make sure that although you render to the government what is the government, you render unto God what is God. He's first. But if you're not a Christian, and there may be someone here tonight who is not, I don't know. I don't know you that well. But a lot of times they don't think about this. A person who is not a Christian, their master is not Christ. Their master is the devil. And one of the things I learned in a Bible study, I got it from Brent Hunter's personal workbook. And I've tried this with people in home Bible studies. They don't want to become a Christian. And you have them write, you write down on a piece of paper, I, and you leave it blank because you're going to get them to put their name in there. I, blank, want to follow the devil all my days and live as wicked as I can and do everything I can to bring down the cause of Christ, His church, the home. I promise to serve Him faithfully and spend eternity with Him in hell. And I'll say, I just sign your name right there. They'll never do it. And I wouldn't either. But see, what they don't understand is, if you're not a Christian, you've already signed it. You just don't know it. You signed it. And that's the sad thing. Why not tonight switch sides? Why not change allegiance and become a child of Almighty God? It's not hard. all the records in the book of Acts, all the conversions, they all heard the word, they believed it, they repented, they confessed that Jesus was the Son of God, not their sins, they confessed Jesus was the Son of God, and they were buried in the waters of baptism. It saved them, it'll save you. Then what do? You live faithfully all your days until Jesus returns or until Hebrews 9:27, you go the way of all the earth, you die. All the time remembering that you need to give unto God what is God more important. And then you won't have to worry about the government or anything else. Tonight, if you're not a child of God, I hope you'll become one. If you are, but you have gone back into the world, you've been living on your flesh side, I hope something's been said. And if your heart is honest, that you'll make a correction tonight. Today is the only day we have, because life is short, I guarantee it. Judgment is certain, and the judgment is coming. I wonder how it is with you tonight. Let us stand and pray.
This is for God.